You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Jessica Hoare, as a part of her master's thesis at the University of Auckland, looked into sexual harm prevention in Aotearoa's music industry. For her research, she spoke to men involved in the industry on their knowledge of sexual harm and sexual harm prevention. On Saturday, I spoke to her about her research. Could you explain how you went about this research and why you specifically chose to angle it by engaging with men in Aotearoa's music industry?
So I am a musician myself, and there was a lot of conversations at the beginning of 2021 around the prevalence and impact of sexual harm in the Aotearoa music community, and it was seeming to be impacting women and gender diverse people at quite a much greater extent, and sort of with the implication that also men were probably doing more of the harm. And that's not to say that men, you know, everyone of any gender harms, and you know, men can be harmed, but on balance men were doing more of the harm. So it sort of thought it was quite important to get men focused on getting men engaged in this issue, and well, without their engagement we can't kind of move forward enough. And so yeah, so that's why I wanted to, and I also had an interest in engaging men in prevention in general with my postgraduate studies, and so I decided to do a master's research project talking to men about the issue of sexual harm and their role in prevention.
What is different, or are there any differences between the music industry here in the country as opposed to other industries if we're looking at sexual harm?
That's a question. I think because the music community is quite unique in terms of it's quite loose in the way it's structured. There's lots of, you know, people don't necessarily work at a workplace, and you know, an official workplace, you know you could call working doing a gig your workplace, but yeah, like it's not an official organization, you don't, so it's all very loose. Lots of people do it sort of part-time or just for fun, and so there's sort of no kind of formal way of that the protections and sort of set up policies or kind of modes to deal with it compared to other workplaces. And then the environment itself is quite challenging. You know, your late nights and your social blurs into your work, and there's all these sort of things that get quite messy.
Were the findings in your research what you expected?
Not exactly, but you know, you never know what you're going to get when you talk to the men. Some of it was, some of it kind of aligned with quite a bit of the research, especially around how people understand the music community. Things like how people understand it as, you know, access to powerful people is very critical still. It seems that that trope of who you know, not what you know, seems to hold strong, and that sort of still impacts people's ability to engage and intervene in prevention. But some really positive things that I wasn't necessarily expecting was how people talked about their relationship to, some of the men talked about their relationship to the music community as community, like they really saw it as this collaborative place where everyone was connected, and they were really pushing for the idea of that, you know, we all should be looking out for one another, and why wouldn't you want to make the music community good for everyone? So it's sort of that kind of social responsibility kind of idea that we're all responsible, even if we don't directly harm, to, you know, ensure no one gets harmed so everyone can, you know, flourish and enjoy being part of the music community, which I thought was really cool to hear. And one other thing was how some of the men had really thought quite deeply about the issue, actually, and had really started working on themselves in a way, and were like really thinking about their own behaviours and their own roles in it, and what they've done in the past, and how they can kind of work on them, what they do to make sure that, you know, they are keeping the environment around them safe.
How does the music industry correlate with understandings of sexual harm and consent?
Well, one of the things that came up in the group discussions, and especially it was about that kind of power aspect and how consent, you know, like saying it's not always, even if you sort of consent to doing something, you might not really wanting to do it, but it's there's this coercive and sometimes not even spoken pressure to go along with something because you're worried that if you say no, that's going to harm your career or I'll never get asked to do anything again. So it does problematize consent, because when you've got these power imbalances, then people, you know, don't have the power to consent in a sort of in a proper way. They're kind of being subtly coerced, even if it's not verbalised.
What does sexual harm prevention, especially if we are looking at the music industry, look like?
Well, there's been a few things that people have started, like the Soundcheck Aotearoa has been doing some great work, and they've got all these resources on their website, you know, to help people and things, you know, to create code of conduct and policies and things like that. And also they've been running workshops. And I suppose for me, one of the things that I really think is important from coming out of the research is that because these issues are quite complex, doesn't mean that they're too hard to talk about, but there's a lot of things to think about. We just really need to keep these conversations going and actually talking amongst ourselves and actually starting to sort of challenge some of the things that we think about, like how we think about the music community and, you know, do we need to like sort of reflect on, is this the best way to make it function if it's creating an environment where it's sort of enabling sexual harm? So it's sort of just keeping these conversations, and I'm hoping to organise a webinar where we come together and I'll share some of my research but also have some brainstorming about ideas to move forward and just to get people to think about it in a deeper way, I think, and just to keep talking to your friends and your mates, and if you see someone doing something a bit weird, you know, just going up and, you know, questioning them in a non-confrontational way, you know, just kind of getting confident to start talking to people about the topic, because also I feel like it's still a little bit of a taboo topic, sexual harm.
What do you hope comes from this research?
So I suppose hopefully give some insights for the people that are doing some of this work, like the Soundcheck Aotearoa and other people and other community groups that are, you know, wanting to do this change. And yeah, just to kind of provoke people to think about it, even if they don't agree with everything I say, like, because, you know, it's all just my, you know, framing and how I've come to those conclusions, you know, from other research, but, you know, I've framed it. You know, it still gets people to think about it and to realise that this is a long-term, you know, we have to keep going at it. You can't solve it in, like, just, you know, a few months. So we have to just keep going at it. And this is just, I thought, a good time, you know, thing to bring that back into the conversation.
That was the University of Auckland's Jessica Hoare on her master's thesis looking into sexual harm prevention in Aotearoa's music industry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.